Thank you so much, Rabbi Turk. Thank you, Rabbi Ganek, for hosting this important moment where we can reflect as a community on the great Gdolim that have guided us and that continue to guide us. Brishus, Rabbi Mori, Rabbi Rosenzweig, all of the Rashi Yeshiva, Rabbi Neuberger, Rabbi Reichman, who are here with us and this incredible Kehila. My personal relationship was with Rabbi Mori, Rabbi Lichtenstein, as it's all. And I know that many will be speaking and have been speaking about the Rav. I just want to share a couple of words about Rabbi Lichtenstein, especially today. Which I remember so clearly as one of the most painful days of my life. The magnitude of Rav Lichtenstein's scholarship and piety as an Eved Hashem are beyond my ability to even begin to describe. It was recognized and understood by everyone, not just in the Yeshiva University world and the Dati Lumi world, but really all of Israel. I remember hearing on the radio when I was driving to university after I made Aliyah, and I heard the Rav Lichtenstein won Pras Yisrael. And I was on my way to meet one of the most well-known, highly regarded professors in Israel on in philosophy and Jewish thought. And I said to him, "Did you hear the news? Rav Lichtenstein won Pras Yisrael?" And he said to me, without a moment's hesitation, he said, "It's an honor for the prize." And that truly, Rav Lichtenstein was the Pras Yisrael. My own personal story began when I studied in Gush for 2 years, and then afterwards in his shir, again for another 2 years in Grus. The Torah that I learned from him in his shiurim and all of his sichot, in his articles and his talks and what we call his press conferences were, of course, enormous. I remember when I was in Grus, my fear of being called on. I know everybody here has stories about the Rav, but Rav Lichtenstein, it's amazing because Rav Lichtenstein would never say anything untowards an answer that somebody would give. Like there was no need to, apparently in the Rav Shir, there was some need to be concerned, but in Rav Lichtenstein's Shir, there was no, there's nothing that he was going to say, but you of course didn't want to say anything that would not be right. And then I remember when I switched, and I said, okay, instead of hiding from the back, you know, you can't really learn unless you're sitting in front of the calling on zone. And I've never heard anyone else say this. This has been my experience. And if anybody's listening and can validate this in their experience, it'd be interesting. But what I noticed is that in the beginning, Rav Lichtenstein would call on you and he'd start, he'd say, for example, Berman Tikra, you know, Berman read. And then as you're reading, he would ask questions, Berman, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And if you started getting it right, he would say, Ken Ari, Ken, Ken. And he switched to your first name. And whenever he switched to my first name, I was like so happy. And I'd come home from Shira and my wife would see it in my face. Like I was gleaming. I was so happy. I was right. And then like sometimes he kept on continuing calling. And then like, he's like, low Berman, low, you know, and all of that, and the sheer, like the ups and downs, your whole emotional roller of being in sheer, and everything that I learned from him in sheer in the Torah that he shared and fueled my life. But more than that, I would say is my personal conversations with him. I would turn to Rav Lichtenstein through all matters of my life. For so many years when I was rabbi of the Jewish Center and deliberating whether I should make Aliyah or not make Aliyah, and the air of emet, of truth, that would be in the room, I'd come to him. I remember so often, I have these reasons or that reason, so much self-delusion. And one time he said to me, he said, Ari, is it really, you're doing, I hear, is it really Eif Shalakayim Ayadeh? Like, ow, wow. No, okay, good point. Then we started talking more, and he's like, actually, what you're doing, it's so significant, it's so meaningful. And he would be, and he was so mechabed, the avodas Hashem that was happening by his talmidim. Finally, after I made Aliyah, I would turn to him throughout my years in Israel. I remember, like, one of my first conversations, I sat in his office with him in Gush, and I spoke to him about some of the questions that I had, where I should send my children to school. He was talking to me, and he brought me up to the Beit Midrash. He introduced me to somebody. I didn't realize that at the very same time, he was going around the Beit Midrash and he was pulling people out to introduce me to help me. And I remember leaving from that and saying to my wife, we could actually do this. Like, we could do this because Rav Lichtenstein is there supporting us. And we have a support system in my Rebbe. And it was really that sense throughout my life that I felt that I had this support. That whatever happened, I had this Ish Emet, a person that I can turn to with truth and honesty and integrity. And it was Rav Lichtenstein, and he'd always be there to help us and to support us. And towards the end of his years, when he was less well, I was in the hospital with my children. We would go around and do Bikur Cholim on Erev Shabbat and give out challahs to the Cholim. And I walked into a room, and Rav Lichtenstein was there. And no one knew that he was in the hospital. And he wasn't fully coherent. And Meir was there. And Meir said to him that Ari Berman is here. So Rav Lichtenstein started speaking to me. And it was not clear from the people in the room what he was saying. And then somebody else came in, and Meir said, oh, this other person is here, is a family member. Rav Lichtenstein wouldn't address the other person. He kept on looking at me and talking to me. And people thought he wasn't speaking coherently, but actually what he was doing is he was recalling our last conversation, the last question I asked him. For guidance about it. It was a professional opportunity. We're weighing the benefits and the risks, and he went straight back to that, and he wouldn't let it go. Like, when other people came in, and he wanted to make sure, because I was still going through it, that we were talking about this, that he knew was so much on my mind. I know they've said about the Rav that when In his years where he wasn't coherent, that he was reciting Rambam. And if I remember correctly, I think Rav Lichtenstein's daughter at his hesped mentioned that about Rav Lichtenstein also. From my experience, actually, there was an additional element. The idea that in those moments it reveals the greatness of the person to see what was truly on the person's mind. So in my experience, when Rav Lichtenstein wasn't well, what was on his mind was his concern for me. What was in his heart was his concern for his Talmidim. He was such a great Rebbe. He was such a great Rebbe. And when he passed away today, I didn't know what I was going to do. I remember after the funeral, which was in Elul Shvat, I live in I still have my house in Neve Daniel. So there's Derech Avot, there's a way of walking from Alon Shvut to Neve Daniel. And I just walked on that path and I got totally lost. I was wandering around there. People saw me. They said they were driving on the highway. Like, what is Ari doing? Like, I was wandering in the fields. And it was really how I was feeling, which was totally lost. Like, what was I going to do? And right now, today, if you look in my my office, and what I've learned to do is the picture that I have on my office, I have one of my family and one of Rav Lichtenstein and I. And to regularly turn to him and to continue to seek his guidance. I feel so blessed that he was in my life. Truly katonti mikol hachasadim mikol haemet. Truly katonti. All the kindness he showed me. He would come to all of my smachot. I know he made a point of it, especially after I made aliyah, that he would dafka come to all my smachot when he had so many conflicts. He was the santik of my youngest son. He spoke at all of the B'nai Mitzvah that we celebrated. He one time came with a suitcase because he didn't have time because he was flying that night and he had two other events. But he made sure to be a present for me. And that's really how I felt with him in my life. He was very present. And in my mind, after wandering in those fields, what I found years later is that he is still very present. And as his Talmidim were so deeply in his heart, he has remained transfixed in ours. And all of the Torah and whatever we're able to do and accomplish is so much due to his teachings, his role model, his lessons, and his life as an Eved Hashem. If we could only continue so much of what we did in this crazy world. We look at what's going on in the world, and there's so much that is wrong in this world today. There's so much that is wrong in this world. And tonight, we take a moment to reflect on what we're doing that's right and at the heart of what we're doing that's right. And what guides us is not simply a syllabus or a curriculum or a classroom, but it's this relationship between Rebbe and Talmud, which is what we're commemorating this evening. It's not just about their scholarship and about their religious success, but the interest, the care, the consideration of the totality of each of our lives. What Torah is about is not transmitting a rule book. It's far more than a syllabus. It's a Torah Chaim that addresses itself to each and every Torah Tadam, each and every person, a living Mesorah that addresses the totality of our lives. And the person who most clearly showed me what that could look like and that what does look like is Rabbi Mori, Rabbi Chinsin Zatzal, Tehei Yei Zichram Baruch. I know that he learned it from the Rav, and this is so much a continuation of the legacy. May their memory be for a blessing.